up, believers? Welcome to episode 14 in season 2 of Make Us Believe Podcast, your wrestling podcast by fans for fans. I'm your host, Michael.
I'm Webster.
That's right. You can see us now. I figured out how technology works. So, yes.
We're getting up into the advanced times of video calls and recording. Yeah.
Just in time for us to
go back in person.
Go back in person and then possibly record then. I'm fully vaccinated, so that I'm
cool. With it.
See, there we go. We can
absolutely
do this. Also, get vaccinated.
Please.
That's all I'm going to say about that.
If it's not for you, do it for everybody around you.
Yeah. It's like wearing a mask. It's what we said 6 months ago, but now just for a shot in the arm or two. Yeah. Whatever. So
get the flu shot. Get the vaccine.
Yeah. So today we're going to talk about Backlash. Oh, I'm sorry. WrestleMania Backlash. Because we had to try and milk WrestleMania for as much as it was. And if you couldn't tell already, we have feelings.
Feelings abound today, because we might as well call Hell in a Cell WrestleMania Hell in a Cell at this point, too.
I'm surprised they didn't.
Yeah. Not super happy with what's happening right now in the WWE, but we'll get to that a little later. We could talk about Backlash now.
Yeah. If you are not aware, we are recording this on June 2nd. So that information, go back, read Twitter and all that other stuff. You'll see exactly what's going on, and we'll cover it a little later. Let's jump right into Backlash.
Backlash.
Webb, did you happen to watch the 2-hour commercial for Batista's new movie, Army of the Dead, that was premiering on Peacock? As I did, I got to see the 2-hour commercial for Batista's new movie.
It was a good commercial for the movie. Yeah. I haven't yet seen the movie. I'm sure it's pretty good. Batista's great at what he does.
Yeah. It looks entertaining. Nothing against Batista. We love Drax.
Having a commercial fill up my WrestleMania Backlash time was a little sketch to start with.
Yeah, creative. And now I'm looking at you. And you see absolutely that I'm looking at you.
Here.
You took Backlash and you tried to milk WrestleMania for it. You called it WrestleMania Backlash. So we get WrestleMania Part 3? I don't know. That was dumb. But then you took that and made a 2-hour commercial for a Netflix movie. You should be ashamed of yourself.
Yeah.
Yes. You, Philip. You.
Disappointing to say the least.
Yeah. And it was crazy. Like, all of the different... See, now I'm on, like, camera. I can't just talk at the mic. I have to, like, look at the camera and everything. It was just... There was all throughout the promos, they interjected weird scenes from the movie and stuff, and then wrestling vignette stuff in there, and it was just this weird feeling.
It reminded me of 80s and early 90s wrestling, WCW, WWF, because pre-WWE. Just the weird gimmicky things that they would do to make a little extra ad revenue.
Call this 877 number and order your official WWF jean jacket today, you know, kind of thing. It had that kind of feel. It was super obvious, super cheesy, and didn't need to happen. And I don't know if it was just an audible because they really love Batista and that was the thing, or if it was like Netflix throwing money at Vince and him just being all about that payday right now. So I don't know. But it didn't come across well.
With things that are going to lead into our feelings afterward, because, again, we have feelings.
We have such feelings.
I'm sure we'll get into that, but this was disappointing, to say the least.
Yeah.
The way they went about this pay-per-view ad for Dave Bautista's movie. About zombies in Vegas.
Yeah. Which
I haven't seen it.
I'm honestly excited. Like, I want to see it. The 2-hour commercial worked in the sense that it made me want to actually watch this, because it's like that, like, serious movie, but not a serious movie. It's super comedy also. So I'm like, yeah, I want to check this out. I mean, it's Batista shooting zombies. Like, how can you not love that?
Exactly. So let's get into this two-hour commercial for a zombie movie.
Yeah.
With our kickoff show, we had a really good match. I really enjoyed this one. We end up with Sheamus against Ricochet. And, you know, give me more Ricochet on any match. And Sheamus is great. These two guys kill it. Sheamus definitely shows some battle scars, you know, with his super pale skin and that complexion. He shows that he's taken a beating no matter what.
Yeah, he can't hide that.
No.
There's no hiding
that. He shows you wrestling's real.
Yeah.
Tell him wrestling's fake.
Yeah. Like, you chop Sheamus on the chest, you wait 5 seconds, and then you see your handprint. Like, that's legit. The dude is so pale. I did not see this because when I was watching, the kickoff matches apparently are not on Peacock. So I had to watch it a day later and did not get to see the kickoff show. Not that that's I normally nice. Watch them anyway, but that I was legitimately excited about this one because I am 100% over on Ricochet. I love this dude. He did a, what was it, the moonsault? On
450 splash that he would normally do from standing on a turnbuckle. He's doing it as a springboard now. So just jump up onto the top rope near the turnbuckle and then do the 450 splash.
Yeah. What was it? That match with AJ on like the Raw or something when he, I forget, but he like did a moonsault backflip, landed on his feet, grabbing AJ by the midsection and then lifting him up for a German suplex. Like, in one fluid motion, people. It was so pretty. So pretty. I'm like, why does Ricochet not have a title around? It doesn't have to be the world title. Like, fine, whatever. Just put a belt around this man.
Yeah. I mean, at least we're finally getting him on TV again.
Yeah, that's
true. After a long vacancy of him being relegated to main event and not on TV, he's finally in some TV time, which, you know, give me Ricochet on TV all you want.
Yeah, I'll watch. I'll watch that. I'll watch him fighting a mop. I don't care. Like, seriously. But in true form, anytime that Sheamus is put in the ring with a good competitor and someone who knows what they're doing, Sheamus delivers. Oddly enough, because, you know, you can look back and think of, like, some bum matches that Sheamus has had. But realistically, when Sheamus is put in there with somebody who knows what they're doing, Sheamus knows what to do. And he's really dependable, really solid, and with someone like Ricochet in there, you know, that can only give you, like, fireworks, so.
Yeah. Give you a great match. You know, it wasn't for the U.S. title, so good on them for not putting a title match on the kickoff show, because we've seen that way too often. But you have the U.S. champion on the kickoff show, but a great match to actually kick off the commercial.
Yep. So then we move into our first match of the night, which I don't understand why it's a first match, but whatever. The Raw Women's Championship, Rhea Ripley versus Asuka versus Charlotte Flair in a triple threat.
So I went into this match skeptical that Charlotte Flair wasn't going to win it. Because it seems like no matter what they do, you throw Charlotte Flair in this match, she's going to win. Whether they're trying to pump her numbers or not. So, great match. These three women are always great. I would have rather seen just a straight up Rhea Asuka match as a rematch from WrestleMania.
Yeah.
But we get Charlotte in there. The ladies are always going to burn the house down. But Rhea holds on to the title, pinning Asuka.
Yep. It's not that I don't like Charlotte. I just a little fatigued by Charlotte, I guess you could say.
That's the term.
And it's not to say that she doesn't deserve to be champion. Like, in my opinion, she's going to be the person that breaks her father's record long before John Cena does. Like,
Randy,
you know, like, she's going to be the person that does it. And it'll be a legitimate title reign, you know, like
that
the women's champion is no less prestigious than the men's champion. So that being said, like, man, she's in everything. Like, she's in all of the main event pictures all the time that she's there. She's been in more pay-per-views than I think any other woman, except for Natty.
I believe so.
Or something. I think she has the most pay-per-views, but Natty has the most matches. I don't know, something like that.
Yeah.
But, you know, she has that legacy. And, I mean, she's solid in the ring. She's going to burn the house down. But I'm just a little fatigued and would like to see some of the other ladies get moved in there, even if it's just for a short time. You know, like, let some of the other women shine in that spotlight a little bit, you know?
I couldn't agree more. And the irritating fact that for the buildup of WrestleMania Backlash, we get Charlotte Flair, Rhea, and Asuka in match after match after match. Mm-hmm. We get WrestleMania Backlash, these three in a triple threat match. Didn't end the story. Now we're moving into the future, and it's been the same thing. We're still getting Charlotte and Rhea. Yeah. There's so many other women, which is going to lead into us talking about our feelings after this.
Yes. And, I mean, I kind of get that because I was getting to that point with Asuka also. Because you see Asuka, and it's like, Asuka's going to be champion. No one else is going to be champion, though. Like, you're not going to... And it wasn't even like, oh, she's undefeatable, like she was in NXT. Like, we know she can be beat. So now you're just giving her the belt to give her the belt kind of thing. And I don't know, that makes me sound really like I'm anti them and their decisions and everything. And I'm not. I love Asuka. I love Charlotte. I mean, they are the pioneers for the modern day... Absolutely. Women's wrestling era. Like, I love them so much, but I would like that pot to get stirred a little bit, I guess, you know?
Like, absolutely.
Just let some other talent into that picture and stop going back to your mainstays.
The part that's really bothering me right now with this is, on a pay-per-view, the women's matches are only ever the title matches. The tag team title,
yes.
The Raw Women's, the SmackDown Women's Championship. Why aren't we getting a Charlotte Flair-Asuka match, not for a title, some mid-card pay-per-view? You get that with the guys.
Yeah.
Why don't the women get mid-card matches that aren't for a title?
Yeah. Why don't we have a longer-term storyline set up where, you know, for instance, like you said, Asuka and Charlotte are competing at a WrestleMania Backlash to be the number one contender to take on Rhea at Hell in a Cell. Why aren't we having those kinds of matches at all these other ones and have a longer build in the storyline? Why does all of the build have to be, you know, started on a Raw and then finish at the next pay-per-view and then you start throwing together a new storyline? Like, it's quick cut and it kind of made sense for COVID, but we're getting out of that. So,
and if the WWE would start pushing some of the other talent, you have so many other talented people you could do similar things with,
yeah,
and get them in championship pictures, because there's no reason that you don't get somebody like Naomi or Tamina or Natalya back in a title picture for one pay-per-view and then put them back in mid-card matches or whatever. Just start rotating the women around, so we're not seeing the same thing. And we're starting to get the same thing with the guys. So this is going to be a complaint you hear from me for a bit, is we're getting the same rotation of the same people over and over when you've got so many other talented people sitting around there not getting utilized.
Like Ricochet, like we just got him back.
Yeah.
But he was sitting on the sidelines for how long? Because he wasn't part of any main storylines. And it seems like the people that are involved in the main storylines are the ones that get the TV time. And you don't throw anybody else in. Like, you could easily, okay, if you want to have Charlotte versus Asuka, that is, you have them go at it on TV, on Raw or something, and then you have, I don't know, have them go into a Fatal 4-Way or something, you know, with two other fillers, you know, throw, you know, throw Natty in there, throw Liv Morgan in there, something like that, you know, and then... Boom. Now you've given them some TV time. You've given them some more in-ring time. You've put them on during a pay-per-view. You know they're not going to win, but at least you've let them highlight themselves for 5 minutes, yeah. You know? Like, why are we not doing that? You can do that and then still push the main event people that you want to push. You can do both. It's not impossible.
And I don't get it, because the women aren't getting that, and the guys are, because... WrestleMania, we end up with Seth Rollins against Cesaro. they deserved a match. They had a great match, mm-hmm. but why aren't the women getting a comparable type match? Not for a title. You built this feud up over a couple Raws or a couple SmackDowns, and these women get to have a blowout at a pay-per-view. That's just good storytelling. Yeah. Or has creative just forgot how to tell those stories? They can only tell stories about a belt.
Yeah, I don't know, because I mean, you can't sit there and tell me that you don't have women that could deliver that quality of match without a belt on the line. Like, you can't tell me that. Looking at your roster, you have Charlotte, you have Asuka, you have Rhea, you have Bayley, you have Sasha Banks, you have Natty, you have Tamina, you have, you know, Shayna Baszler, you have Bianca. Like, you have all of these women that are the best at what they do, and
you're going to make me bring up my feelings early, Michael.
And you're telling me that you can't figure it out to put them in a match and just let them have a match? Just build a grudge match, whatever, like you did with Seth and Cesaro? Like, come on, guys. That's lazy. Do your job. Make us want to watch. Make us want to watch it. That's all we're asking.
Yet we get a match between Rhea and Asuka on Raw. Then the next week you get a match with Charlotte at ringside. Then we get a match between Asuka and Charlotte with Rhea at ringside. We're getting just the same repetitive stuff over and over when they could be building and using the other talent that has just been sitting backstage as filler.
Yeah.
Or on main event or whatever.
And then you
not getting used.
Yeah, and then you get the what's it called? Then it's like it's predictable. Okay, we've had them for 3 weeks now with them being in matches together and or ringside. I wonder what's gonna happen in the next pay-per-view. Shock, shock. It's a triple threat match. Like, come on. Like, you know, it's not like we can't see where this is going. Throw us a curveball every once in a while.
Yeah, exactly. Well, let's get into our feelings after the pay-per-view.
Yeah.
So next, we get the SmackDown Tag Team Champions, the Dirty Dogs, Robert Roode and Dolph Ziggler, against Rey Mysterio and his son Dominic.
Yeah.
Earlier during the pre-show, we saw Robert Roode and Dolph Ziggler jump Dominic and, we're going to air quote, hurt him, throw him against the wall or a garage door, cover him with a couch. So Dominic's hurt as the match kicks off.
Yep. And then Ray fights through, and he's going to go down and do the tag match by himself, and it's basically a two-on-one, and shock! Here comes Dominic to save the day once his daddy's getting beat.
Yep. You know, I'm going to say I'm happy Ray and Dominic won.
Yeah.
For the first time ever, you've got a father and son as SmackDown Tag Team Champions. I believe it's the first time ever is in the WWE, WWF history that you have a father-son tag team.
I believe so.
Champion.
I believe so.
But they are billed as the first time SmackDown father and son. So great for them. As we all know, Ray's getting into the twilight of his career.
Mm-hmm.
So he's coming to the end. So to get to do this with his son has got to be a great thing.
Yeah, I mean,
props to them.
Yeah, at the end, they got to stand on the end of the ramp, look at the ring, and hold up belts, knowing that, you know, my dad and my son, you know, just looking at each other, holding those belts, knowing that you're a champion. You guys together are a champion. Now, that's super cool. Like, I'm not going to lie. No. I wasn't super excited about this match. I think Dominic still has a lot of growing to do. And I kind of felt like they're just giving the belt to, like, get that moniker out there. But ultimately, it was a decent match. I really don't have much complaining to do about it.
No, it was a good match. Unfortunately, again, because of how creative's been working, this really seemed predictable. Because you had Michael Cole going, this could be the first time ever on every SmackDown. You have Rey Mysterio saying it in his interviews. This could be the first time ever father and son champion. Made it really predictable that they were going to win.
Mm-hmm.
It would have been really cool of a curveball that they didn't win. Then you keep them in the title picture and do it at the next one where it's a little more not predictable. Creative. It's creative being terrible at what they're doing right now.
Yep. So there was that. Cool. New champions. It's fun. I hit my keyboard. Whatever. Next up, we move to what is arguably...
I'm just going to facepalm and everybody can see it.
The worst, like, legitimately, guys, I have watched Eva Marie wrestle.
Are you really going to compare and this match to Eva Marie?
I am saying that this is the worst match that I have seen in years. And that's not necessarily because of the guys that were in it. They're both solid.
No.
But
yeah.
It was why. Just why. So when I was talking earlier about the two-hour commercial, Damian Priest comes out to, like, Army of the Dead music or something.
Mm-hmm.
Walks down to the ring. Miz comes out. Oh, by the way, this is a lumberjack match with Damian Priest and The Miz. Sorry, forgot that part.
That was pre-built kind of during the show as well. They do this John Morrison vignette where he's looking to find the lumberjacks and finds this room full of zombies. And I'll air quote the zombies here. People in makeup.
Zombies.
wrestlers in makeup. Meant to look like zombies. And he runs away. So
he left the door open so the zombies got out.
Yeah.
So now... the zombies come down to the ring and you have like 10 zombies something around the ring
something,
and then those are now the lumberjacks. So Miz and Damian Priest are trying to like hype this up, like, oh god, there's zombies on the outside of the ring, we have to work together. But then that doesn't work and they beat the crap out of each other. Yeah. And it's bad.
Yeah.
They throw each other out and then they're fighting the zombies because the zombies are trying to eat them and stuff.
I would love to see this match without that kind of crap, because that's what it was. It was crap.
Yeah.
A Damian Priest Miz actual match, what the guys can do and what we've seen them do would have been great. I'm honestly glad that storyline's finally over, I believe. Let Damian Priest go do something else. Let The Miz do something else. Not with zombies. This was probably one of the worst commercial matches I've ever seen.
Yeah. Damian Priest pins The Miz, does his archery pose, and shoots up at that little screen that they have over the ring, you know, facing straight down on it. Mm-hmm. And then... The movie logo Army of the Dead is up there. Not Damian Priest's logo, not his name or anything like that. Nope, we're just good. It's the Army of the Dead logo as Miz is dragged off and eaten by zombies. Yeah.
They came to the ring and just licked his face is what it looked like.
Yeah. Yeah, basically looked like a bunch of grown men in horrible makeup licking another man's face.
You know, unfortunately, during the match, somehow Miz got hurt.
Yeah.
So it kind of made sense now he gets eaten by zombies and disappears for a couple weeks. For the first time ever, he's actually been hurt. Don't know how bad, but, you know, he gets hurt. And it kind of fitting that it's a terrible match.
Yeah.
That is actually when he gets hurt.
Yeah, it was hot garbage. And, damn it, creative.
Failing.
Damn it.
Throw creative.
Damn you for making me watch that. That?
Yeah.
Shame on you.
Yeah.
Phil. Next up, SmackDown Women's Championship match. Bianca Belair walking in with the title. Bayley walking in for the title.
Again, these two women, great match. Right now, of the matches, the women have done the best job.
Yeah.
It came out exactly how I thought it would come out. You know, Bianca won at WrestleMania. I didn't expect Bianca to lose, but she and Bayley throw a great match.
They do. And again, like, all right. So I'm reading stuff. So sorry, guys, if I'm like looking down and up and everything, because I'm reading notes because we're prepared on this podcast, super professional. As I sit here with my Murica sleeveless t-shirt. This was a fantastic match. I love Bayley. Bayley is my role model.
You know,
and Bianca Belair is amazing. I've been I've been on the Bianca train since she got to Raw. If you don't believe me, go back and read, like, watch or listen to the episode, because I mentioned that. You know this was going to be good, and they did not, they didn't disappoint at all.
And they actually tell a good story. They told a good story leading up to this match. Bayley kept calling her the rookie, and doing the Bayley and her Karen persona.
Yes.
Because I don't know how else to call it. She's being a Karen.
She is. I never thought I'd be on the side of a Karen, let alone say that one of them is my role model. But Bayley, this is gold. Bayley? This is perfect freaking Karen. Gold right now. I love it so much. Every time I see you on screen, my heart is full of joy. So Thank you. I know she's not watching this, and that's fine. If you are watching this, Bayley, leave a comment. That's amazing. You'll make my lifetime. Like,
you know, and this match was the good cleanser for the debacle that was the zombies prior to this.
Yeah, it's like we got back on the rails of a wrestling show.
Yeah. Yeah. And the end of the match, Bianca uses her hair to get the pin, so working into more storyline with Bayley.
Mm-hmm.
Bayley obviously thinks she cheated because she used her hair. Bayley did get another good whip with the hair, so, you know, or Bianca got to use the hair again. It's becoming a good tool for her.
I mean, dude, we
haven't seen Sasha since she got whipped.
I mean, if it's, like, attached to you, like, if that's part of the, you grew that, you should be able to use it. Or if it's not natural, I don't care. If you sat in the chair long enough for them to attach that, that's a sacrifice. Like, no, you should do that.
It's been that way since Cowboy Bob Orton and the cast on his arm.
Yeah. Yeah, there's nothing you can do about that. It's attached. That's a medical device. What can you do? Yeah. Stone Cold did the same thing with his knee brace. Like,
absolutely.
It's hair.
It's part of her. She can use it how she wants.
Yeah.
I'm all for it.
All for it.
So moving on.
Yes.
Moving on. We get the championship match.
Yes.
Which had more weird build-up. And, yeah, unfortunately, you could see the writing on the wall of what was happening here.
There was a build-up?
Bobby Lashley. A little bit of week after week, same people wrestling the same people.
Yep.
Over and over again. Because creative has lost their minds, at least on Raw. Creative has just lost their actual title of creative. They're not being creative at all.
They're not. They're really
Bobby
not.
Lashley is our champion coming into this against Drew McIntyre, against Braun Strowman.
Yeah.
So this is supposed to be Drew McIntyre.
All men that have a long future with the company.
Michael, too soon. Again, feelings. We'll get to those after. So some challenges for me going into this is... Drew McIntyre lost the title to The Miz. Drew McIntyre works his way to fight Bobby Lashley at WrestleMania. Has a great match. Loses the match.
He lost it legit.
Gets put into this match. Fights his way into this match through, you know, 4 weeks of storytelling against Braun Strowman and Bobby. Gets tossed into another championship match in a pay-per-view. I love Drew McIntyre. But... how many rematches do you get for the title that you lost?
Yeah.
Until you have to start working your way through the ranks. But three big men in a ring, they were really good for three big men in a ring.
Yeah, I was expecting this to go very physical and downhill very quickly. It did not necessarily. There were obviously the big man physical aspect of it, people getting tossed backstage and LED boards and everything. But this was legit. Like, it was a legit, like, storytelling match of three big dudes wanting the title and beating the living hell out of each other to get there.
Yeah,
it's awesome.
I just got to know what Bobby Lashley's infatuation with going through LED walls is.
Yeah, I don't know.
I mean, it's multiple times now he's gone through the LED war.
Yeah. You would think he would learn. Like, oh, look, that's a picture. I should not go towards that. It's like a magnet. It's a Bobby Lashley magnet.
He and Braun really like those LED boards.
Yeah.
For sure.
I've not seen somebody go through an LED board like Braun. Honestly, and I don't know if that's a marketable skill, but damn, that dude is huge. And he just plows through it and makes it look so good.
It's something to put on your resume.
It's something, I guess. Anyway, it's it went down. Bobby defeats them via pinfall and is still champion. What I don't like about this, and it's not that Bobby is the champion. I am all for Bobby being champion. What I am not for is what you said about Drew getting champ to like opportunity after opportunity because he's Drew.
Hey, Bobby Roode.
Yeah, right. That's my ringtone. You should be able to find strong enough competitors to make Bobby Lashley defend his title and still look strong and not to go to the former champion four times in a row.
And still be able to keep Drew McIntyre strong and in that picture, just not in the match.
Yeah.
Because I'm sorry, I'm going to ruin the future here. We're going to do it again. Drew McIntyre against Bobby Lashley at the next pay-per-view Hell in a Cell.
Oh, no. So I did not see that coming at all. Yeah. Like I said, this is like the fourth time. And Drew, it's like, dude, he lost. And then they're every other time, they're like, you lose, you go to the back of the line. Well, I was at the back of the line, but then I beat this one random guy, and now I'm at the front of the line. That's not how that works, but okay. Oh, then I beat two other people. Now I'm at this the front of the line again for this pay-per-view. I'm like, come on, creative. Like, we love Drew. But you need to find somebody else that Bobby can have a good match with, because that's what's going to test him as a champion and as a focal point for the company, as well as it's going to open up opportunities for other wrestlers on the roster to get their shot. And it's going to let Drew not have to work with the same four people for months and months at a time. Like,
I mean, it's been since he lost the title to The Miz that he's been working with Lashley.
Yeah. And, I mean, they're starting to ramp up to get towards the live events again, right? So we're going back on the road. We're going up. You really think people are going to want to see Drew McIntyre versus Bobby Lashley in every town for every pay-per-view for the next 6 months? No, we don't. We want to see other stuff. Put Kofi and back in there. Yeah, let's watch Kofi. Yeah, put...
Heck yeah, I want another Kofi Mania.
Yeah. Put, you know, put other
and that's
guys
a challenge.
In there. No, throw Ricochet in that. I don't care if he loses. Give him a shot. Let him see, showcase what he can do. I want to see that. I want to be entertained in the match.
Absolutely. And that's the challenge. I think creative has kind of lost their creativity over the last year because they didn't have the fans' response of actually knowing who to like and who were your heels and who were your faces, who was a fan favorite and who wasn't. I think they lost that connection with us, the fans, and it shows now. It's taken them a year. And I think once they hit the road and start throwing the same garbage arena after arena,
they're going to get fired.
They're going to hear it because you know us fans when we're in person.
Yep.
We are going to call them on the BS.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what they're going to hear. And they can try and mask it all they want with the audio guys on the recording, but people still know what the fans are yelling.
Yep.
If it's crap, your fans in the arena are going to tell you it's crap. And you've only got so long to fix it. And trust me, I don't know Vince McMahon personally, but I know as soon as he starts hearing two or three arenas down the line of the fans pretty much saying it sucks, he's going to make wholesale changes.
Yeah, because he's going to get mad at the fans and say that they don't want it, or like, why don't they get it? They don't understand. And then he's going to get more mad at them and really say, I don't understand. Then he's going to get mad at the performers and say, why aren't you selling this? You need to make them buy it. And then ultimately, and then it's going to go back to creative. I'm like, guys, this is not going to work.
Yeah.
It takes a little while for him to get there, but the man understands the business.
Absolutely.
And I mean, I don't know if creative realizes this, but they have not been live in over a year. Like, they've not been at a live with a live audience aside from WrestleMania and everything, with a full live audience in over a year.
Yep. And those people that creative thinks are your good guys or your baby faces, your audience may not like them. Nope. They might be rooting for your heel that you don't want them to root for.
Yeah. And these people are pent up, like they've been pent up for over a year. They've been having to sit at home and basically silently on these video LED boards doing this or yay or whatever for like 5 minutes straight, you know, hoping that you get your face up there in the Thunderdome and everything. These people, the fans, for the first few months, it's going to be like the Raw after WrestleMania. It's going to be a house show in San Antonio that is not televised at all, and people are still going to be throwing around beach balls and yelling out BS. Like, it's going to happen, because we're, like, us as wrestling fans are some of the most vocal fans in the world, and we haven't had a chance to have a voice. Like, so you really think this crap is going to work? When you go live, it's not like, oh, people are going to be oh so happy that you've come back. Like, no, we're going to give you a piece of our mind.
Yeah.
Fix it.
We
fix
want
it
our
now.
Sports entertainment back.
Anyway, it was a good match. Bobby Lashley is still the champion. And then our main event, or co-main event, whatever they want to call it, whatever. Universal Championship. I'm going to say it. The champion, Roman Reigns. Versus Cesaro. And I'm only going to say it because Roman Reigns had a clean win prior to this match. He had
his first
clean
that I can remember.
Win. There was no interference or anything. So in my book, Roman Reigns actually defended the title. I still don't like the character or what they're doing with it and where they're going. I still think it makes no sense whatsoever. Roman Reigns does not need an enforcer to help him win matches. No. The times
or,
that they
or is the
they
shirt
let
says
him...
right hand man.
Yeah, I like what was it? Jimmy's or Jay is better. It's like nobody's bitch. So good.
Yep.
Like you let him go and do his thing. He won clean on his own, and it was a great that was a great match
against an amazing opponent in Daniel Bryan.
Yes.
If Daniel Bryan loses, he leaves SmackDown. The first time that I remember in Roman Reigns is almost now a year of having the belt. He wins clean on his own without any assistance from anybody.
That was the first time.
He beats
time.
Daniel Bryan in a great match.
Yep, it was great.
So we're going into Backlash. We're getting Roman Reigns against Cesaro. For the first time I know of, Cesaro in a main event for his first time ever at a main title.
Yep.
This was a great match.
Yeah.
I want to see more Cesaro in main event.
I want to see more Cesaro just period, but yeah. This was fine. If Cesaro's the one that takes down Roman Reigns, great. If Cesaro's the one that takes down whoever beats Roman Reigns next, great. But that dude has worked too hard and put out too much good quality for them to keep ignoring and not give him a run. Like, I honestly can't think of anybody else on the roster right now who's more deserving of a world title than Cesaro.
Nobody works harder than Cesaro, in my opinion, right now in the WWE.
Yeah. So, seriously, if you're listening to anything creative, take that away, at least.
Yeah. And this was a great match. It finished exactly how I thought it was going to finish.
Mm-hmm.
Even though I wanted Cesaro to win, and in my heart, I would have been super ecstatic if he did. Roman Reigns gets a clean win. He told his cousin to stay in the back. He went one-on-one with Cesaro, the pound-for-pound strongest man in WWE.
Yep.
Put on a banger of a match, and Roman Reigns kept the belt.
Yeah, which, again, like, I'm with you on that. I expected that to happen, but he did it clean. There was no interference in that. So, bravo. Two matches now. That the year-long champion has won without the assistance of his cousin. Not to say that his cousin didn't get involved after the match. He came down and beat up Cesaro, but...
Yeah. But at least the match didn't have any kind of shenanigans.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, it was great.
So that was Backlash.
Yeah, that was Backlash, WrestleMania Backlash, whatever.
So, can we talk about feelings now, Michael?
Yes.
I'm ready to talk about my feelings.
Yes, we can talk about our feelings. Would you like to start us off with our feelings?
So, my feelings have been decimated since the beginning of this year. WWE has made some really, really interesting things happen. We all know a year ago when COVID hit, they decided to release a lot of good people, let a lot of good wrestlers go. And it seemed that this happened again this year. You know, January it was a small thing. They let two people go. But come April, they did the April massive cut again. And they gutted the women's division, in my opinion. Just take a knife to the a body of the women's division and just pull a knife through it. They released Mickie James, Billie Kay, and Peyton Royce, and Chelsea Green. All in April.
Which, I
mean, four women that, you know, you had a women's tag team that they broke up for some stupid ass reason.
Yep.
Early last year, that were great tag team champions, could have carried the tag team women's tag team division.
Yeah.
And not been putting two single women wrestlers together and forcing a tag team. These two women were great together. Chelsea Green, who unfortunately in her last couple matches got injured, was able to work through coming back, gets injured again. Mickie James, who you had just brought back.
Yeah.
You release these women, makes no sense.
Then
on top of that, you release Tucker.
Yeah. You broke up that tag team just to release Tucker. Great.
Broke up that tag team, release Tucker. Break up the Lucha House Party, release Kalisto. You release Bo Dallas, who we haven't seen in forever, and would have been great in one way, shape, or form. And the biggest shocker of the April releases is they released Samoa Joe.
Yeah, that one.
Who has been killing it on commentary.
Seriously. Like, if you weren't, if even multiple concussions, I get it, right? Joe wrestles hard. If you weren't going to let him get back in the ring, give him a commentary contract, because if you haven't seen the product lately, wow, are they missing Samoa Joe.
Yes. Absolutely.
Damn. You don't know how good he was until you see what it's like not having him. Like, we got so accustomed to Joe being there that now it's just, oh, this is what it's like.
They've had to shuffle the whole commentary thing around. Because now you've got Michael Cole moved to SmackDown, and they brought in Pat McAfee, who, in my opinion, has been amazing there. So good on them for thinking about that. But then they moved Corey Graves and I'm drawing a name blank.
Byron
Saxon to Raw.
Yeah.
And brought in poor Aiden, who just didn't fit.
Yeah.
Didn't fit at all.
MLB commentator, and you could tell he was an MLB commentator. And, I mean, they gave him, what, it was like a month?
Yeah, he had about a month of time.
He got in. It was rough in the beginning. After that, he started to really get his timing down and his pacing, and everything was starting to kind of work. And, like, his last episode that I saw him on, like, he seemed like a pretty legitimate commentator. Like, still a little green, but he seemed like a legitimate commentator.
He was learning.
Yeah.
He was learning how to pace himself to sports entertainment over baseball.
Yeah, exactly.
Good on him for trying to learn. Obviously wasn't a great fit. Now he's gone. We've got somebody new that's coming from an MMA broadcasting. Yeah. So he understands sports entertainment at this regard.
Yeah, but he understands the combat sports aspect. Obviously we're missing
Samoa Joe.
Yeah, we are missing.
Samoa Joe was great. So then we move on into May, and they do another round of cuts. The only big notable person there for me was two people. Jessamine Duke, who was part of Ronda Rousey's Four Horsewomen with Shayna Baszler. She was in NXT, hadn't seen her for a while, and the Velveteen Dream. Those are the only big cuts that kind of stood out to me.
Yeah.
In May. Not big surprises there. A lot of them were more NXT related. But then we get to June 2nd, 2021.
Today.
And today for us, tomorrow or whenever you're listening to this in video world or audio world.
Yeah.
This is a crusher for me. Let's start with they released Santana Garrett.
Yeah.
They released Lana.
Yep.
And they released Ruby Riott. So yeah. They gutted the women's division even further.
Yep.
Tore up two more tag teams. The women's tag team division has been struggling to not have the same repetitive matches week after week, show after show. And you just gut two more. Now, Lana, who was just recently tagging with Naomi and has been an entertaining tag team.
Yeah.
And you have Ruby Riott and Liv Morgan as the Riott Squad back together. You brought them back in early 2020. And now you let Ruby Riott go.
Yeah.
Makes no frigging sense to me that you're gutting your women's division further.
Yeah. And I mean, like, it is. It's hard to have multiple, matches with, variety and everything in those matches. You can't, if you don't have the tag teams to do it, you can't rip out, four tag teams and then expect the tag team division to grow and flourish. Like, that's not how it works. There's no, of course we're getting Shayna Baszler and Nia Jax against, the same four people every time or whatever, because there is nobody else, because they keep cutting freaking people.
So
for yelling.
Feelings on this has me infuriated, but let's make it just a little worse. They cut three stars.
Yeah, they did.
Absolute frigging stars today. Buddy Murphy, who was the best kept secret, they let him go.
Yeah.
The man has had banger match after banger match anytime he's on TV.
Singles and tag, by the way. Singles and tag. He was super successful in both arenas, and there is zero reason why, one, they should have got, I when they released Blake, I was like, why? But now you got rid of Murphy too? Like,
yeah. So, I'm going to skip my favorite of the list.
That's fair.
Braun Strowman, who was just in, as we just talked about.
Yeah.
Two, three weeks ago, was just in a championship match.
Literally Braun Strowman in the title released. Picture. You don't get closer to being in the title picture than what Braun Strowman was in. He was in the match.
Yeah. Beat Shane McMahon at WrestleMania.
Yep.
The next pay-per-view, he's in the title picture to win. Braun Strowman could beat Bobby Lashley, hands down. Braun Strowman could beat Drew McIntyre, hands down. They cut him. He was one of the big men that could have helped propel. Put him up against Roman Reigns and let Roman Reigns beat a big man.
Yeah. Yeah, and not have to do like, oh, I already beat the big man, but that was with him and the Fiend. Like, let him go one-on-one with you. You know, let that happen. You know, like, make that match. I think they already did it, but, make it again or whatever. Who cares?
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, like, you're willing to repeat matches week after week.
Yeah.
At least give us something entertaining with a guy that deserves to be in a main event picture.
Yeah. And, like, is a decent champion. We've seen him as champion before, and it was decent. But there's no reason why he should have got cut. I'm upset by this, because if you take a look at where Braun Strowman was, like, 5-6 years ago, something like that, when he came in as just another blackface sheep for the Wyatt family.
Yep.
And he was the epitome of destruction, and he didn't talk or anything. You just see this dude with a beard and a baby face that looked like a bearded baby that screamed and beat people up. Legitimately, that's what it looked like. He was that, and you're like, oh, this is never going to go anywhere. This is like the Great Khali and Dabba Kato / General Aziz or whatever all over again. But no, he went and he grew and he learned, and look at that. Like, in a few years, the dude is in main event pictures and is a former world champion. Like, he legitimately was a good athlete and not just another big man, and he had so much potential. I don't understand this.
On top of that, he took the pandemic time to go get himself in amazing shape.
Yeah.
He got ripped.
Ripped.
Over the last year.
Like, seeing his transformation was like seeing the freaking Big Show's transformation. Like, when he got hit, like, got back in shape and everything. I was like, oh, look at the Big Show rocking his six-pack. This is ridiculous.
Yeah.
You know, in the 50s or whatever. Braun Strowman got in super great shape to come back, and this is what happens.
This is how we do it.
Like, less than a month out from Backlash in a championship match, he gets the axe. And I do not understand this.
The biggest shocker to me in this one is somebody that, over the last 4 weeks, they were looking at bringing back. They just started making really cool vignettes with him, all animated, where he's telling stories. He comes out. He black masses Biggie in a triple threat match. They cut Aleister Black.
They cut Aleister Black. Sorry, I had to scream. I had to. Oh, that's not affected. I'm legitimately pissed. I have been pissed all day. I texted my wife and I'm like, look, you guys, you're not gonna understand this. I told this to my wife, my friends, and our little Facebook Messenger chat. I was like, look, you guys aren't gonna understand this, and I don't care. I need someplace supportive to vent about this. I told them, and my wife was like, it's okay, they'll be okay. I understand. I'm sorry, babe. And I'm like, I know. I'm just really mad. And she told me not to let it affect my day. It affected my day.
Yeah.
I am mad.
I don't get upset often. Stuff sports entertainment does.
No,
I don't.
It's scripted. You understand. They could piss us off. The heels do their thing, and whatever. It's fine. Whatever. You know.
Yeah. I could be pissed off for a year that Roman Reigns hasn't beat anybody by himself until the last two matches.
Yeah.
But you just cut one of the most talented men
ever
in the WWE
ever.
After you put him in a really crappy storyline with Seth Rollins, where he costs him his eye. You send him to the sidelines for months to start bringing him back and get us all excited that you're bringing Aleister Black back with the Tales of the Dark Father. He's supposed to start a feud with Big E, and you cut him.
I literally just watched, was it this Raw? This week's Raw? That he was on there?
It would have been SmackDown.
Oh, SmackDown?
Last week. Yeah, SmackDown.
Last week, SmackDown. Just watched it, like, earlier this week. I watched him do the vignette. I watched him in the ring. And I watched him deliver a picture-perfect black mass.
And
I get alerted that he has been cut today. That is less than a week. After that, how does that happen? I don't understand that. Like, if someone, I'm just being real here. If a WWE executive, if creative, if anybody out there that has actual firsthand knowledge about what the effing F you guys were thinking and what was going on with this and why, please comment, send me an email, tweet me, skywrite it in the freaking clouds. I don't care. Just tell me why.
Can I add a little more fuel to your fire, Michael?
Sure, why not?
On top of all these women they're bringing, or just cut?
Oh, wait. How about the people that they cut prior to going live, right? The people that they cut that could have actually been useful in promoting the show and propelling it back.
We're going live
up
in less than a month.
We're going back live, and they cut all of the talent.
How about they're bringing back Eva Marie?
You son of a bitch!
Eva Marie. You let go of Ruby Riott, Lana, Santana Garrett, Jessamyn Duke, Peyton Royce, Billie Kay, Mickie James, Chelsea Green to bring back Eva Marie.
To bring back Eva effing Marie.
For God's sake, I hope she's learned to wrestle in her years away.
Yeah.
If she comes back and flops, it's going to be the funniest thing. She's going to come out to the ring in the first live event, and all we're going to hear is, you can't wrestle.
That's it. The last time she tried to talk on TV, people just booed her. And they booed her so bad that didn't somebody else have to take the mic from her and finish the promo on that, because the fans literally wouldn't let Eva Marie talk?
Yeah. And it's going to happen again.
The other time she comes out, she can't talk because people are screaming, you can't wrestle, throughout her entire match. She was poison. And it's not because the fans necessarily hated her because she was a heel or anything. They hated her because she was a bimbo model that got into the WWE to use it as a stepping stone to get into acting or whatever future fame there was after that. She had no love for the business, she had no respect for the business, and she was seeing it as a stepping stone. Meanwhile, there's hundreds of thousands of people out there that would literally kill to be in her position. And look, if Ava, if you're watching this, understand that I am one voice that right now you're listening to is probably speaking for a large majority. Understand yeah. that this is how we see you. And you didn't help yourself on Total Divas when you were talking. Yeah, I watched Total Divas. I don't care.
I used the pandemic to catch up on it.
Yeah.
I've seen it all, and I was just going to bring it up.
Yeah.
She
lied her way into things, lied her way out of things, and it's literally said that she got into the WWE because it was a good stepping stone, like The Rock. This isn't a stepping stone. This is the pinnacle for people in wrestling. This is the pinnacle. This is what you work hard. This is why you go through broken bones, why you sweat blood and tears, why you sleep in your car, why you go a few days without eating and everything like that. Like, why you're driving 400 miles to make $20 at an indie show. This is why people do this, is so they can hopefully get noticed and end up in the WWE. Meanwhile, you're here and saying that it's a stepping stone? Love for you.
Since April, 10 women that deserve to be in the WWE got released, and we're bringing back Eva Marie. 10 women that could have ran your tag team division, could have been your future women's champions, so we're not getting the same match after the same match after the same match. 10 women you cut, and you're bringing back Eva Marie.
Yeah.
Now let's talk about the men. They cut all these men, yet they keep people like Jackson Ryker.
Yeah. Which, cool.
Yeah.
But
I don't want to see anybody get fired. He doesn't deserve to be fired.
No.
But
what's so exciting about Jackson Ryker, and again, no offense, but what's so exciting about Jackson Ryker that was better than Braun Strowman? That was better than Aleister Black.
Better than Buddy Murphy.
Please tell me. Like, explain that to me. Why they got cut and some of the other... And you can't say it's like, oh, they're cutting dead weight, because how many prospects do you have at NXT right now that haven't even made it onto NXT that you could have looked at and said, well, we're culling the herd. Sorry, guys. How many people in the mid-card or lower card of NXT itself that is still on TV that could have got cut for culling the herd? How many other mid-carders on the main roster that could have got cut? No, instead you take main event talent and people that are set for a push that you're telling us to get excited about, and then releasing them.
In the last 2 years, the matches that Buddy Murphy and Aleister Black had alone are some of the most memorable matches I've seen. I'd rather see those matches on repeat than some of the garbage matches we're getting right now.
Yeah.
Shayna Baszler against Reginald.
Why?
Give me Aleister Black and Buddy Murphy.
Yeah. I will take a Aleister Black walk down, got in the ring, and kick somebody in the face. Just that. Over Shayna Baszler and Reginald any day of the week.
Absolutely.
But no, I can't have that now. How long do we have until they start cutting other people? Like, how long until they just decide that we're done here and we're gutting the entire women's division? Or we're gutting all the men and stuff? Like, why? Like, what? How long?
I don't get it. I'm not happy with what the WWE is using. And obviously, I have an opinion.
Yeah.
Luckily, I have a platform, thanks to Michael, that I can vent my opinion and my feelings on this. Because right now, I'm pissed and it sucks.
It super sucks. It super sucks, and I'm legitimately mad. Like, I'm mad, I'm hurt. I honestly feel betrayed by creating, as stupid and like melodramatic as that sounds. Like, I legitimately feel betrayed by some of this stuff, you know? Like, I have invested time and energy and emotion into some of these people. I watched Braun grow as a competitor. I got excited for Aleister Black coming back. Ruby Riott was one of my favorite women wrestlers. Billie Kay and Peyton Royce, like, legitimately helped me see another side of women's wrestling that, you know, like, they were an amazing tag team, and probably one of the reasons why NXT has a women's tag division and the main roster has women's tag division, because they were so good as a tag team. And I just, over the years, I've been watching this, and I know people get fired or whatever, but, like, legitimately, like, why? Why would you do this?
And they say, you know, we saw it was for budgetary reasons. Mm-hmm. WWE in 2020, look at the financials. Record profit last year. Record profit.
Yeah. So I don't understand how you can afford to keep all these people in 2018, but you earned 20, and then in 2019, but suddenly in 2021, after 2 years of record profit, you have to let them go.
And I'm gonna say it. I know we're mainly a WWE podcast
for
video
now.
Their competition's getting really stiff out there.
Yeah,
really stiff. I know the competition has been hiring former WWE talent. They're hiring good ones.
Yeah.
And they're about to get a bunch more.
You're not...
You can't tell me that Aleister Black, Braun Strowman, and Buddy Murphy aren't going to be calls as soon as their non-compete is over for their competition.
No.
Ring of Honor, Impact, TNA, AEW, wherever.
This second.
These guys are
going to
go there.
Second, people are adding Tony Khan and making sure that he's aware that these people are off... are on the market. Like,
he's trending today, top 25 trending in the world on Twitter.
Tony Khan was trending because people were tagging him because they want to see their favorites in action. And they don't care where. They want to see them in action. I promise you, if Aleister Black goes to AEW, I'm watching AEW.
Yeah.
That is happening. I watched a couple of matches in AEW, but I haven't committed. But I promise you, you pull in Braun Strowman, you pull in Buddy Murphy, like, you pull in Aleister Black.
Samoa Joe.
You have a new fan.
Yeah.
Okay? Like, and that's another thing I hope creative is hearing, that I'm willing to go and watch other promotions and other stuff and take away your ratings and give it to them if they have a better show.
You built us some great stars. You built these people as stars in front of us over the last 5-10 years. To rip them away this way is crap. I understand contracts expire. People want to go explore other ventures. Cool. Record profits in 2020. And in the first 6 months, we're 2 days into the sixth month of 2021. And these are the people you've cut in the first 6 months.
Yeah.
Stars. Absolute stars and the future of your business right there.
Yeah.
Aleister Black, in his early 30s, he's got a good 10 more years of wrestling. Easy.
Yep. That puts you into 2030. That you have a multiple world champion on your hands holding the business up 2030. Right there. And you let him go.
And he's one that admittedly wants to train the future to keep it going.
Like I said, I'm confused, I'm hurt, I'm betrayed. It hurts. It sucks. It's just all around terrible. It just is. And like I said, call us melodramatic if you want to. That's fine. I understand. I am a fan of pro wrestling. As soon as I tell people that, I'm used to getting, like, getting crap for it, okay?
Absolutely.
That's fine. This sucks. It just does. So, I don't know.
And I'll go watch wherever these guys go. If I have to watch it on YouTube or some form of whatever streaming service.
Yeah.
If I find out Aleister Black somewhere, I will find a way to watch, even if I'm only watching matches he's in.
Yeah. And honestly, it's not saying that I'm going to switch brands altogether, but I'm going to pay attention to your competition. Like, I'm going to go other places and look and see what else is there. Right now, up until now, I didn't feel the need to, because I got everything that I wanted out of WWE. I know, that, you know, Jon Moxley and Cody Rhodes and everything were over, and they're doing great stuff over there. I get it. I fully get that. I just haven't felt the need to go elsewhere, because I got everything I needed from WWE. That being said, after this, I'm going to reevaluate my options.
Like, we have
I
to.
Legitimately am. Because if you want to see what's out there and you want to see your people again, then you have to go where the people are.
I want to see Samoa Joe wrestle. I want to see Buddy Murphy and Aleister Black and Braun Strowman wrestle. And you know what? they're going to go somewhere else and not have the big thumb of creative pushing them down into whatever silly Braun Strowman, Brains Against Braun gimmick match for Shane McMahon to wrestle against. He's going to go get to be himself.
Yeah. And, I mean, sometimes that super works out, sometimes it doesn't, but at the end of the day, they get to be, you know, they get to have a say in their creative direction, and that's absolutely awesome.
So, you know, some cool things I was able to see before the network moved to Peacock was some of the old Aleister Black matches before he actually came to WWE. And the man was great then. Him and Chris Hero, Cassius Ohno, for those that watch him in NXT, they put on some banger matches. The man can wrestle. I will follow him wherever he goes.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. So that's our feelings.
We had feelings. Sorry, had you feelings. Got to hear them.
Yeah.
That's why you click the play button.
That's why you click the play button. You know what you're getting into. It's fine. Next time will be better. Next time we'll be going over probably the NXT TakeOver that's coming out. It's another In Your House.
In Your House. And it's going to be a good one so far. It's 2 weeks away.
Yeah. And then Hell in a Cell is coming up also.
So this is the weird part. WWE has reordered their schedule right now.
Yeah, actually.
Hell in the Cell, typically an end-of-the-year event, is now next month in place of Money in the Bank. I believe they move Money in the Bank a month later so they can do Money in the Bank in front of fans. Hell in the Cell, I believe, is going to be the last pay-per-view in the Thunderdome because July they're supposed to be going in front of fans.
Yeah, I don't know how that's all going to work out, but, you know, whatever. I'm down.
We'll watch it.
We'll let you know.
Creative when we're...
I like the idea of Money in the Bank being in front of fans. I think it deserves that. But also, Hell in a Cell super sells tickets, you know, so I don't know. Either way, that's coming up, and so far it's shaping out to be decent, at least from the storylines and stuff so far, as thin as they are. So, yeah, we'll get back at you.
As repetitive as they are?
Yeah. So, yeah, until next time, I'm Michael.
I'm Webster.
Don't stop believing, guys.